everyone. Good morning. Welcome to the Teach Better Today morning show, where the Teach Better team is able to join you live every single morning, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, LinkedIn, and of course, as an episode of Teach Better Talk podcast, Joshua Stamper's in the house. See, you know. Joshua Stamper's here. We're going to keep the fun going. We'll be right back. I'm going to drink this coffee. Good morning, everyone. Happy Thursday. Joshua Stamper is here. Josh, do you ever feel like when I do the intro of the show, I sound like a robot because I do the same words and the same inflection every single time I'm leading the show?
No, I always just think how polished Ray Heward is every time I listen to you.
Polished? Oh my God. I feel like that just like gave me all like the warm and fuzzies. I'm blushing.
No, you do a great job, right? That's why I love jumping on with you.
I will say though, you know, even as educators, like we say the same thing over and over and over, and it's kind of like you go into autopilot. Like I would love to almost say the beginning differently just to try it out, but it's like, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Teach Better Today morning show, where the Teach Better team gets to join you live every single month, like every single morning, Monday through Friday. Like I think if you listen episode to episode, I do the exact same thing, I'm pretty sure.
We're creatures of habit, though. I think it's like a security blanket when we hear the same thing consistently.
I guess. When you host the show, which I know, like, I feel like that hasn't happened recently, so you should get on that. But do you have, like, a typical soundbite you feel like you play, or is it?
No. Now, for my own Aspire podcast, like, that's right. That's consistent. You know, I always jump in with, you know, Aspire leaders, I'm so excited, you know, and I talk about the guests, but you know, it's very consistent in that. So I get it. Like, that's why I was shaking my head, because this is like your main stage. This is what you host the most.
Whoa. You just really built me up right there. Yeah. Somebody asked me the other day, last night, actually, like what my job is. And I had no way to actually describe it, but I was like, one of the things I do is I'm like a part of a live stream pretty often. And they're like, oh yeah, you live stream often. I'm like, yeah, just, you know, every so often. And they're like, cool. Like how often? Like once a month? I'm like, yeah, like
every day.
Like 6 days a week.
I think it's funny because I don't even think my family truly understands like what I do. Like when people ask, like I give them my title and they're like, what does that mean? And I'm like, I just do everything. Like I have my hands in everything.
What is your title? Because our title, like for people that may not know, the Teach Better team completely makes up fake titles. I think now more than ever, they're probably closer to people's jobs than not. But I feel like for you, you do so much. There's no way whatever your title covers everything. Like, what are you?
Training and development specialist is my title.
Oh, it's nothing.
It's like the most generic broad thing. Like, so.
Wait. Okay, training and development specialist. That means you have the same title as Brad and Bree and a few other members of the team. To me, training and development specialist, yeah, and Andrea, to me, that means that you travel to provide training, which I know is like a portion of your job, but not the majority.
Not the majority.
No.
No.
We should create a new title for you. We should like make it really fancy though. Like, what if you were like, the director of insert fake language.
I love it. Yeah. So listeners, if you got a title for me, like throw it in the comment. I'm eager to hear what I might be called.
Yeah. I think we need to do this. And then I'm just going to like change it on the website and see if anyone notices.
Just all my taglines just magically change.
Yeah, where are our titles? Like, I guess it's in our email signature.
In our emails.
And so we could update that. So you'll update your email signatures. I'll update the website. I know it's on the website.
I mean, the emails that we send out to our communities, obviously, like.
Well, you'll edit those. That'll be fine.
Yeah.
I think you should be the director of anything that has to do with media. Because we
do have my hands in a lot of media, yes.
Yeah, like you create content, you support the podcast network, you do a lot of editing of our videos, editing of audio.
Courses.
I feel like you're like the catch-all person. Like you're in every project because people want your brain.
Swag.
Swag. Yeah. A creation of swag.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many projects. Director
of content creation. I don't know. I don't know what that
means. I just love the director part in the at the beginning. So I'm game.
Yeah, I think like director of Joshua double underscore Stanford is what it should be. This is sure. Good. Okay, we're gonna do a director title for sure. Somebody in the comments, or if you're listening to this after the fact, like we legitimately want options. I'm gonna put this into like ChatGPT later and be like, can you create 10 or 20 options? Wait, why wait till later? I'll do it right now.
Yeah, right. I was gonna say if you just generate it now, I bet you could
create
2 seconds, right? 10
director of blank titles for Joshua Stamper.
ChatGPT is gonna be like, I have no clue who this guy is. So
oh my god, this is really good. This is why I love ChatGPT, because it gives me like stuff that's are you ready for this? Are you
ready? I don't know.
Director of Educational Innovation and Leadership.
Ooh.
Director of Student Success Strategies. That sounds made up.
That does sound made up.
This one you can't have. I think I'm almost positive this is Katie's title. Director of Curriculum and Development. That's I think
that is her.
Yeah. Director of Technology Integration. That's not true, but sure. Ooh, Director of Professional Development and Teacher Training. I mean, sure. Director of Educational Equity and Inclusion. Director of Podcasting and Media. Educational Podcasting and Media. That actually is not bad. Director of Educational Partnerships and Community Management, Director of Educational Research and Best Practices, Director of Strategic Educational Planning and Implementation. Wow.
I think I like the first one best. I don't know.
I think so too. Director of Innovation. I think you should. Educational Innovation. We could take the educational out. It's assumed.
Yeah.
Right. My title's fake too. So I am the...
So do you want to share what that is?
Well, I'm the CXO. Which, if you're trying to figure it out, the X is a joke because a CXO is the chief experience officer, which, correct, in case you're curious, doesn't start with an X.
It's very confusing.
But you can't have two CEOs. CEO is...
Like, yeah, I will say though, Ray, I do think it looks cool when it's abbreviated with the X.
Yeah, I love it. And I love that nobody knows what it means. And I also enjoy that like it is kind of a spelling error, which like I vibe with. That's like my life.
That's your life. Yeah.
And when people are like, oh, what is that? I'm like, anything that an audience within the Teach Better community would experience or consume, I have some touch on. So if it's like visual, audio, website, I like have at least some sort of like boop finger touch on it.
I like the sound effect. That was nice. I was thinking more X, like extreme, you know, like you get to more of like a hardcore title, but then you booped and then it kind of like took it all that away.
Extreme. Yeah, that would be cool. No, you can take the extreme. Director of Extreme
Innovation.
Learning. Innovation. That's good. All right, friends, we're excited to see your ideas in the comments because I assume they'll even be better than ChatGPT because you all know Josh. So feel free to get creative, get sarcastic, make a joke in the morning, make yourself giggle. We'll giggle with you. Like, that's my vibe. Please. So it'll be good. We actually have some questions that we're going to answer, I believe, today, focus on the grid method, right, Josh?
Yes. Yeah, I have several that I'm excited to pick your brain on.
I'm a little intimidated by the whole, like, I have several, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Here we go. everyone, welcome back to the Teach Better Today morning show. I just got a text message during that commercial break that our heat is broken. So I feel like that means I am taking all of your hiccups for the morning. Like none of you, all of you are going to have the most amazing day because the hiccup has already occurred, got taken care of, and all of you will just have like the best Thursday of all time. That's how it works, Josh.
That's why you were drumming. No one could see because, you know, there was a commercial, but she's trying to move to keep warm. That's really what it's about.
Okay. I'm not saying I don't believe that the heat is broken. That's not what I'm saying. But the room I'm in does not feel cold. And you know, by me saying that, it will now, within the time period of this session, it will become like 30 degrees. But
yeah, there's just going to be layers as the show goes on that's going to be added to you.
By the end, you might have like five. I must have somehow known this in my like back of my mind because I'm wearing a sweater right now and all of you have this sweater in your closet where it's the warmest sweater to the point that you like can't wear it very often because you'll just sweat. So I'm wearing that today. So maybe I like subconsciously knew that the heater was broken this morning and whatever.
I feel like that room that you're in typically is cold. So I think you were just preparing.
Yeah, this is a very cold room typically, but I don't feel like it's any colder than normal. Maybe that's, then again, the doors are closed. Like maybe all the coldness is outside the door and I'll open it up. It'll be like, whoosh.
Yeah, probably.
Well, all right, Ray. Yeah, no big deal. It's only 30 degrees outside. We'll be fine.
You're not turning blue yet. So I think that's a perfect sign that you have prepared for your day.
Yeah. As long as all of you now have a great day because of my hiccup, we're good.
I think it's guaranteed.
What questions do you have for me?
You're nervous, aren't you?
I am because I'm usually I ask questions. Like I'm good at being like, Josh, I didn't prepare you. Here's an enormously challenging topic.
I know. I'm super excited to flip the script because I mean, as of yesterday, you kind of, you know, threw a bunch of questions and then, you know, in the past you've done it, you know, so it's always an adventure joining you, but now I get to ask you some questions that I have received from the listeners in regards to the grid method. So if you are ready, I'm going to try and go through as many as possible. We'll see how many we actually touch on.
Sure. I feel like with the grid method, I can at least fake my way through those answers. I did the grid method for over a decade and I support teachers with it. I feel like there isn't going to be a question that I haven't heard before is my mentality with the grid method.
You're not faking. You travel all over and help schools and teachers with the grid method. So, all right. So the first one is, how can the grid method be effectively incorporated into lesson plans to enhance student understanding of complex concepts?
Ooh, okay. Good one to start out. I feel like there's a misconception and we get asked this quite frequently where like, if you do the grid method, then other styles of teaching that you know is good for students have to go away. And that's like, that could not be farther from the truth. So if you're a teacher that is familiar with like the workshop model, like all these other ways to instruct that you know is good for students, the hope would be that that blends in with the support of the grid method, not gets rid of one or the other. So for me, in terms of lesson planning, I like personally starting with like a full class instruction, some sort of, I ended up calling it teacher time, but in theory, it's like the mini lesson time. This is when you can go over like common questions or maybe like preview or review information that students have been learning, right? This is where you can foster discussions and kind of like, I don't know, like make it a little bit more of a full group collaboration. And that can be anywhere from 5 to 20 minutes long, depending on the block of time that you have, right? Like really use that. This could be an interactive activity. I love that stuff. That definitely shouldn't go away. Then typically we see teachers review their goals with their students and go into grid method work time. That means that the students are continuing their learning and what you probably touched on at the beginning of the class, but now they're really looking at their personalized learning journey. So they're still covering that same content, but they're picking up where they left off. They're making sure they're mastering the information before moving on to more challenging information. That doesn't mean that they're working individually. It just means that they're on an individual plan. Hopefully there's a lot of collaboration and movement. And you know me, I always like love a controlled chaos classroom. It's the best. There should be hands-on activities and technology and, you know, hopefully no technology during some of the other, like there should be a, such a good variety of multimedia tools. And then I like to end the class with kind of like all coming together, doing a little recap, doing a little feel good, and then allowing your students to goal set. And for me, the value of goal setting at the end of the day is to help you transition into the next time you're in that class. So goal setting is really that transition tool. So I'm not sure that answered your question, but in terms of lesson planning, the grid just should be a supportive piece of the design.
Yeah, no, I think you hit all the components. All right, Ray, if the, it looks like the second question is more math specific, so I'm going to make it kind of more broad, unless you, I mean, I know you talked math, so like
whatever you want to do.
All right, so in what ways does the grid method promote student engagement and active participation in the learning process?
Okay, really good question, because I think there's two answers to this, so I'm not trying to overanalyze, but sometimes we do a grid method presentation, grid method workshop, and teachers ask, how do you have students stay motivated when they're essentially working at their own pace, in some regard individually, sometimes in collaborative settings? Like, how do you keep the flow going where they just don't like sit and stare at the ceiling?
For sure.
And there's like two answers to that. One is, when you give students the tools to be successful, they don't have the same opportunity to engage with content that stumps them, because everything is like a slow roll. They're only adding new content when they're ready. So you don't get students that are really stuck in the same way that a traditional classroom would. So that allows students' motivation to kind of naturally build to support themselves, because they're engaging with content that isn't above their learning ability. So that's a pro. The other element is the empowerment element of students being able to have control that sometimes for some students will be motivating. But full transparency, like sometimes the grid isn't going to give you the answer to motivation. And that's why I like to look at education as like the perfect deli sandwich that you get from like Subway or Jimmy John's. Like, you don't just want one ingredient. Like, the grid method when you put in your classroom should not and most likely won't fix everything, right? Like, it might make some things easier. It might free up your time to like add in something new following to support some of the areas it doesn't support, but like, it's not like a fix all. If it was a fix all, we'd all be doing it, right? Like, it's just a support. It's like the meat of the sandwich. You still need the veggies. You still need the sauces and all that other good stuff. So I find that the grid method absolutely is a motivator for students, but that does also mean you're going to have to look for other ways to motivate students, just like any traditional lesson would, with other things that keep them going. So I don't know that that is like the right answer, but sometimes I think we learn something in hopes that it will fix everything. And I really feel like that's unrealistic.
Well, for sure. It's a framework, and it's the bones, or like you said, the meat. So you got to add some more additional pieces. And that kind of rolls into my third question, which is more about like learning styles. So this question is, what specific strategies or adaptations can be implemented to address individual learning styles when using the grid method in the classroom?
Yeah. So maybe not even specific to learning styles, but specific to the support students need to be successful when they're learning. I love that the grid method gives you the framework to kind of overly include support that students can use to take, students can choose to take advantage of. So a really, really silly example, like this is not even a high quality one, but maybe a student has an activity that there's directions and then they need to do the activity. In the grid, as you're planning, you maybe would include that activity. Maybe they can click on it and hyperlink and it pops up for them. But another tool that you could have right next to that is allow your teacher to read the directions to you. And it's a 15-second video, maybe even with no face, maybe it's just audio. And the teacher saying, hey, I'm so excited to read these directions to you. Here's not only the directions I'm reading, but here's some like teacher strategies, some suggestions I might give to the students when doing this activity. And then I can give some sort of like motivational, you're going to be wonderful, good luck, let me know if you need anything, in the video. The best part of this is that a teacher can record that and every single student can choose to benefit from that or they can not and read the directions themselves, but you're really providing a variety of support and you only have to do it once because that still frees up your time while a student is reading those directions for you to be doing something completely different in the classroom. So that's just one example, but in my mind, I'm able to diversify what I offer to my students in terms of support and media modalities because I only have to necessarily do it once and then it exists as a choice. So it's kind of interesting.
All right. Do you think we got time for one more?
Oh, all right. One more. And then we got to go. This episode's getting way too long and I've been talking a lot.
But you're an expert. I mean, I want to pick your mind and I have several more, but I just want to touch on one last one, which is in regards to assessments and evaluation. Is that okay?
Ew, that sounds awful. I don't want to do that one.
Well, earlier in the week, you had talked about, you know, this topic with the Admit Mastermind. So I think this is perfect. So what assessments or evaluation tools are most appropriate for gauging the effectiveness of the grid method in facilitating student learning and mastery of the content?
Oh my God, Josh, this has been an ongoing theme over the last 2 months. I don't know what's happening in education, but everyone wants to talk about formative assessments. I think we have to make a course. I'm going to work on that over winter break. I'm going to make like a formative assessment, like quick cheating guide to formative assessments, because I have done this conversation with educators, like it's like 7 times in the last 2 months. Formative assessment designs are huge. Especially in the grid method, you want one, at least one formative assessment in like every box. So if I was to like streamline what each square should look like, which like, of course there's opportunities to break these rules. But in my mind, it's like you introduce an idea, you have an opportunity for students to practice that idea. And then there's some sort of formative assessment. The biggest thing for the formative assessment is that you as the teacher know the teeny, 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 tiny target you're trying to have students meet. So for example, if students are, I don't know, subtracting multi-digit numbers, you just want to make sure that they're not doing two key mistakes. You want to make sure that they're lining up their numbers and you want to make sure that they can regroup. I don't know, like some, so like as a teacher, you might be looking for that they get the right answer. You might be looking for a few different things, but you need a really teeny tiny objective you're looking for to make that formative assessment efficient and effective. That allows you to engage with the student really effectively and allows for you to plan your intention with the things you're teaching really strategically. So when you have a grid method teacher that is thinking through those really quick checks, that allows you to very quickly identify how to adapt reteaching. I mean, it gives you kind of all the tools without having to look at a robust set of data that will not only take time, but then it's almost too much information. You need to have a very strategic view, which is what we talked about on Admin Mastermind this week. So
yeah, perfect. Well, for those who are watching or listening, you know, send us some more questions on the grid method. Ray, like I said, is an expert and she would love to answer any questions you have. I have more, so we'll have to touch on this later, Ray, but I do appreciate you sharing your expertise on the grid method.
Anytime, friends. And shout out to Chad Ostrowski, our CEO, the man, the myth, the legend who created the grid method that so many of us here in the Teach Better community use. We'll see you guys later. Hopefully have an amazing Thursday. Bye, Josh.
See ya.
Hey, Teach Better community, thank you so much for joining the Teach Better Today morning show every single weekday at 7 a.m. Eastern. We have so many resources for you outside of this live stream at teachbetter.com, including blogs, podcasts, and professional development that will bring our team to your school. Wherever you are listening from this morning, please make sure you are sharing and celebrating the incredible educators in this world. And hey, if you are listening over on a podcast to Teach Better Talk, we would love a 5-star review. The comments are always so entertaining. We'll see you tomorrow.